Welcome to another call in the Triple Your Trading Profits Teleseminar series. This is where Stuart and I jump on the phones and take subscribers' questions and try and get you the answers that you need to your most pressing trading questions. So, just like to welcome Stuart onto the call. You there, Stu?
Thanks, Dave. Yes, I am.
Fantastic. And obviously, I'm David Jennings. So, we'll get pretty much stuck straight into it. I know we're coming up to probably about 2 weeks out now from our Triple Your Trading Profits event. So Stuart and I have been working quite hard, getting everything prepared, you know, formatting presentations, making sure that all the bonuses are ready and all the content's ready, and it really is shaping up to be a fantastic event. So in view of that, I suppose we might even try and keep this call just a little bit shorter, because we've got quite a few different things that we're working on just to make sure that this is a very special event. Now, we have got loads of questions, and we did make a commitment to make sure that we keep moving through them on a regular basis to help answer people's questions, especially if they can't attend the event. So we've got a few here, Stu. I might fire the first one at you. It just says here, "Dear David and Stuart, my question is in relation to charting software and a data provider. I currently don't have any, and I use E-Trade Interactive Charts for my analysis. Is it necessary to have charting software? If so, which one do you recommend, and why, and what features are important to have in that software? Thank you." And that one was from Wendy Bowman.
Okay, actually, Wendy has been in touch with us separately regarding our workshop, so that's great to get a question from her. It's a good question about software, because it's a big market for out there. It's for so many traders who are interested in charting software. After about features and all those sorts of things, I think probably an important feature of a piece of charting software is it's not too expensive.
Mm.
There is a lot of software out there that can be worth thousands of dollars. And I guess the sell for this software is, you know, some special built-in indicators, or perhaps they've coded up some particular criteria on entry signals in there, so a lot of the guesswork has been taken out of it for you, or a lot of the decisions are made for you. So that, of course, appeals to people. I think they are certainly best avoided. And you and I both have used Metasoc, Dave, and that's worth less than, you know, certainly less than $1,000. And if people really want to spend a lot of money, I don't think you need to spend more money than perhaps what you do for Metasoc, because it is such a great piece of software. But there's so many that are more expensive, but a lot that are not as much. And I think it's a difficult situation for a lot of people, because there is so much available. If there was only two pieces of software available, it would be so much easier.
Mm.
But I think one of the most important functions or features, probably more so for software, is ease of use. And Metasoc is a good example, because Metasoc is not easy to use, and a lot of people acquire it. They buy it not really knowing if it's easy or hard to use. They get it and then struggle from day one through forever, struggle to use it and really get their money's worth out of it. And they'd be far better off getting another piece of software which is far easier to use. It may not have all the functionality and all the, you know, customizing and everything else, but it's a lot easier, and it'll be a lot more friendly for them to use. I do, however, recommend, I think, getting charting software. I just think it makes the whole process easier. Certain websites have really good functionality with charts, and they allow you to apply indicators and zoom in and out and change the time frames. And I think that those tools online are just getting better and better. But I do like the idea of a standalone on your PC piece of software where the charts are clear. You can manipulate them, move them around, set up your own little portfolios and groupings of charts. And I certainly do like the idea of getting charting software. And probably one of the most underestimated features of software is the ability to scan, you know, to go through all that data, to go through a whole stock worth of a whole market full of stocks and actually find those that meet your criterion. On our exchange here, there's probably a good couple of thousand companies, and you certainly don't want to be flicking through every single chart to try and find the setup you want. To be able to go through data quickly and mathematically and clinically to find those that meet your criteria saves you a lot of time. So there's a few basic features. Certainly ease of use, the ability to scan and go through market, you know, and looking for certain criteria, I think that's important.
I think you're pretty much hit most of it on the head there, and I'm Very much in agreement with all you were saying there. And in addition to that as well, for me personally, I suppose I'm a little bit biased having used Metastock for so long. And for those of you who don't know, Stuart and I had written the Metastock Programming Study Guide because we had found that, you know, when people first started using Metastock, it was that situation Stuart was talking about earlier where a lot of people, they got the software, they've invested in it, but they never really use it to its full potential. Now, I haven't, like, I've looked at some other different charting packages, but because I've invested so much time into Metastock, and it really does more than I'll ever need, that's why I've sort of really focused in with that. That doesn't mean that there aren't other charting packages out there that are fantastic. I'm sure there are. But Metastock definitely suits, you know, what I do, the way I trade, and also there's a great level of flexibility within the software itself through its coding language and things like that. So once, you know, there's a little bit of an initial learning curve, but once you get your head around that learning curve, it really is a fantastic piece of software. So I think another thing, in addition to those points Stuart had mentioned, the other thing that I would suggest is that you look for a charting package that has a good user base, so where there's actually, you know, quite a few people using the charting software. So if you do come into any difficulties along the way, you can jump onto a forum and, you know, post your question and try and get answers that way. I know there's quite a few different Metastock forums out there, and it never ceases to amaze me the quality of some of the programmers that sit on there and are all too willing and ready to help, you know, new time traders when they're coming to the market trying to get their head around the software. So, and I think you should definitely go get yourself a charting software. Like Stu said, you can do it online, but it's much easier to have your own charting software. So having a look at the next one we've got here, with all the indicators available, how do you decide which to include in your trading plan when starting out?
That's an easy one for me, and I think people have probably got a bit of a feel of how I view indicators. So with the question being, if we're just starting out, which ones should we look at? It won't take you very long to look through the ones I'm going to recommend, because I really think indicators are one of the least important things you could be dealing with when setting up a trading plan. I think there's far more important issues like, you know, setting your objectives and conducting that self-assessment and analysing your own levels of risk and all those other attributes. And trading can be made very, very simple, yet highly effective when it's simple. And simple doesn't necessarily involve indicators. So there's a lot of indicators that can be very complicated, very mathematical, very intensive so far as their formulas and everything else. And I really think they're best avoided. I've made, I guess, my stance on this quite clear throughout this teleseminar series, but also any other person I deal with, I just say that indicators to me just aren't worth a great deal. Having said that, there's people listening to this now and use a couple of indicators and find them highly effective and in fact quite valuable to their trading, then that is fantastic, because that's what we want. We're all different and we all have different approaches and we all want the package that works well for us. So, you know, I don't say people should stop using indicators if they've found something that really works for them. I'm just saying don't go searching for them early on thinking that they might actually be the easy way out and provide you all the things you need for success, because there's far more important issues. I think just analysing price and understanding short-term trends and then medium-term trends and peaks and troughs and various things like that, I think is far more beneficial and more time-worthy than perhaps working at indicators. So there's a lot out there, but I reckon you should be thinking about other things, yep, in my opinion.
And to add on to that as well, my thoughts being that when looking at indicators, very important, if you are going to apply some, and, you know, stick to the classic ones, in my opinion, but if you are going to apply someone, understand what it is that they are trying to achieve. Actually understand what it is they're trying to calculate. The reason being, you don't want to be applying two types of indicators that end up, you know, fighting against each other. Like, one is looking for one particular signal, and then the other one is almost looking for a contradictory signal. So it's important to understand what it is that your indicators identify. And then also, if you are going to go down the route of, you know, as you're designing a system, trying to get something into place, maybe try and find an indicator for that represents volatility, and also have a look for one for liquidity and price and trend, and try and get, you know, a few of those fundamental areas covered, as long as they're not sort of competing. I think that's good. I think Stu mentioned, because we've had some previous questions in one of the previous teleseminar series, it was to do with, was it the highest high, Stu, that you were looking for? Or I think that was
me personally, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I often look for high prices when stocks are achieving new highs, often.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start if you are looking for indicators, and very, very easy one to start with as well. And it's to a certain extent, it's not really an indicator. You're just looking at what the price action is actually doing. So maybe that's a good place for the listener to start on.
Exactly. And if I can just follow up on something you mentioned, and that is if you do use indicators, understand what they're trying to do for you. I'll take that a step further and also understand how they're calculated, the resultant line or lines are on the chart, how they come about, what formulas and calculations are used to do that. Because if you get a good understanding of their calculation and see it on a chart a few times, you will almost get to the point where you could probably take the indicator off the chart and very roughly draw that indicator on the chart because you understand how the indicator is calculated, and you understand by looking at the price itself generally what sort of line it's going to provide you. And I think with some of the perhaps simpler indicators like a MACD and the RSI, certainly the stochastic, you can almost get a good feel of what the line is doing without even seeing it on the chart.
I think that comes back to something that I've seen in your trading, Stu, is very much, I know you talk about not applying indicators and that sort of thing. I think part of it may be that as well, because you would have internalized, like, understanding what it is that certain indicators are trying to achieve. You can get that same feeling by looking at the price data. Was that a fair assumption?
Yeah, that's fair enough. You know, exactly. And you see a stock, you know, it's been hitting up well for a few months, but just the last few weeks it's peaked and it's just starting to drift down a little bit. Well, I know that the MACD, you know, for example, has been going up for the last 2 or 3 months, and guess what? It's just starting to turn now, because that's what the MACD does. It just takes a couple of moving averages and works out the difference, and because the price has turned, the moving averages have crossed and it's now heading back down, and you know, you can get a feel for what the indicator is doing without even seeing it on the chart.
Yeah, so keep it simple and make sure that you understand the indicators and how they're calculated.
I think, yeah, definitely keep it simple. Cool. Yes.
Moving on to the next one here, I've got, hi, first of all, thanks for the audio. It's really great and helpful. Thanks a lot. Now my question, I would like to trade the stock market using swing trading. I would like to ask the most recommended entry and exit signals, and should the money management be different for short-term trading, and is swing trading too risky? Could you refer me to a book or a site that you recommend for swing trading? Thanks, Lamore.
Well, I guess I heard the word risky in there, and that was to, like, grab my attention. With risky, I think we've got to remember that we're all very different people, and we all have very different tolerances to risk. So what might be risky for one person may be far from risky for another set of people, because we're just very different. So we just can't give a categoric answer to say, yes, you know, swing trading is too risky for you, or no, it's not, because it really depends on you. And, you know, of course, we're all different and our tolerance to risk is very different. Having said that, for a lot of people, swing trading probably is too risky because the time frame is shorter than most, and our execution, our orders and getting in and out needs to be just that better timed and everything else. So perhaps for some people and people starting out, that may be too risky to do. But again, all very different. And with money management, I think when you change your trading style, perhaps from a very short-term system or swing trading, or perhaps medium or longer-term trading, your money management, the principles remain the same, but how you implement those principles will change. Because when you're trading medium to longer-term, your stops are going to be a lot wider. You're going to give the stock more room to move. But when you're trading short-term or swing trading, that's not the case. But you're still applying the principles. You're still cutting losses and you're letting profits run and you're position sizing right. But the way you implement that will be different based on the style of trading that you adopt.
I think that pretty much hits it on the head without going into great detail explaining what swing trading is. There are different sort of interpretations on the way swing trading is done. I know I do recall seeing a book. I haven't actually read the entire book, but it comes recommended from a close associate of mine. It's on Amazon. I think what I might do is if I can add this link in after the audio, but if you want to go to tripletradingprofits.com/swing, I can just put in something there and redirect it through to the book that I'm thinking of. So that was tripletradingprofits.com/swing. So, all right, moving on to the next one. We've got here, what do you think is the best technical indicators that you have identified whether an trading instrument is trending up, down, or ranging, say, for the past 100 time period?
Getting back onto technical indicators, I think whenever I think of indicators and I think of trends, I immediately think of moving averages. Simply because I believe most people's interpretation of a moving average and applying a moving average is to help identify the trend. And I think it's the simplest way to identify the trend. Of course, the variable, the time period we use with the moving average will vary depending on that type of trend that we're interested in analysing and identifying. But I think that the simplest, most clinical way of identifying a trend using a technical indicator is to just use a moving average. And if we're using 100 periods, then whack 100 periods in the moving average, put on a 100-day or 100-period moving average, and just identify the trend of the line over the last, 10 or 20 periods, and that will tell you whether it's going up, down, or sideways, roughly. Mm. Okay, so I think the best technical indicator for a trend is just a moving average. I think it's certainly the simplest way, and it's very clinical. There's no room for misinterpretation in a way. It's really just identifying what direction the line's going.
To build on that as well, with the trending up and trending down, definitely come back again to the indicator that we were talking about, or just analysing price data, finding something. If you're talking about the last 100 periods, just identify something that has achieved a new 100-day high in the last X number of periods, you might say, in the last 5 periods or something, to find something. Clearly something that's trending will be in that upper or lower band, depending, obviously, if you're looking for an uptrend or a downtrend. I suppose the only thing that you'd want to have a look at there is once you've done that, you either need to come up with another indicator to supplement that, which could be your moving average or something like that to make sure that it's not just almost like a one-hit wonder where, there's a takeover bid and the share price has jumped up 50% or something like that. But that comes down to maybe eyeballing the chart or even making sure if you're comfortable with coding. I know in Metastock it's quite easy. You've got quite a bit of flexibility where you could say, look, I don't want the gain to have happened in the last day to be greater than 50% or whatever the case may be. There are a few different ways around doing that, but that would be an easy way to identify something trending as well. As far as ranging is concerned, then it would be just a matter of perhaps looking at setting once you're measuring the volatility of a particular stock, and you can do that through the ATR, you can look at, making sure you set an ATR band and make sure that that particular stock doesn't, over that 100 period, doesn't move outside that ATR band. So making sure it's got very low levels of volatility, that's how you could find something that's ranging. So there's just a few different ideas. I suppose it just comes back to that whole idea that there are lots and lots of different ways to do this, and it's difficult to just zone in on just one particular component of a trading system, because it really is part of an overall plan. Once you're looking at, these indicators, and you see a lot of these questions have been asking in reference to specific indicators for entry signals, and really an overall system, you need to look at your entry signals also in reference to what your exit signals are doing, and also your money management as well. So very difficult to just give a black or white, this is the best indicator, or that is the best, technical exit, or whatever the case may be. So moving on now, just to number 5, we've got, what are authentic indicators for entry and exit from a specific trade? I'm trading since 4 years, but till now I take part in rallies when the market is up, and most times I have observed I could not book profit when the script is at a peak. After selling my script, it is still zooming where I am not part of it. Please clarify. So
I guess, so they're talking about specific entries and exits, and we've probably alluded to this a little bit before, but, you know, letting profits run is a really important time-tested trading rule, yet it can actually be quite difficult to do. To me, cutting losses is really quite a simple thing to calculate and, you know, to have preset and to get out on, but letting profits run can be quite still a challenging thing because you never know how far the profit's going to go and how far you allow it to come back. And I often think when people have trouble with what this person is talking about with, you know, getting out and then seeing the price just continue to go higher and everything else, the first thing I'll say about that, and it's not the real important thing, but the first thing I'll say about that is you can always get back in. So if you feel in hindsight you've made a mistake by getting out too soon, and of course at that time we don't know it's too soon, we just know that, right, we've got a profit here, we don't want to give it all back, it's starting to come back, let's get out. If a certain period of time shortly afterwards you realise, hang on, I think I probably got out prematurely, and it's now reversed, and it's a week later, and it's continuing on and moving really, really well, forget about getting down on yourself and being all upset and try to justify what you did last week. Just be decisive and make that decision to get back in again, and just get back in again and enjoy the ride. One of the things that stops us doing that is, yeah, I won't get back in now because if I was in there from last week, if I didn't get out, I would have, you know, not missed out on the gap that it's just moved since I got out last week. I wouldn't have missed out on all that. But of course, you can't help what's happened in the past. So all we can think about is the future and being positive and just say, well, let's get in on it again, because if it rises another 30% in the next 5 weeks, I want to be part of that and not being down and all negative because I got out too soon. That's just one thing that can paralyze us from getting in on things. There's nothing stopping you buying and selling something over a period of 6 months, six times, if you get out too soon, but then it keeps on going high, get back into it again. The second part, and probably the more important thing, is that idea of letting your profits run, but not giving the profit all back. And it's such a delicate balance of where we place our exit as the price is moving higher, where we place our exits to trail underneath the price. We don't want to give all the profit back, but we don't want to be sitting there too close, waiting for the prices to come back a little bit, and then, you know, be scared and actually jump into action and to get out and not give away our profit. It's a real balancing act of having our exit far enough away, and I use this term often, allowing the stock room to move, allowing it just to do its own thing and to come back a little bit and then turn around and go back up higher. And, you know, to have a set way of doing that, and we've spoken about lowest lows and different ways of exiting, and I use an ATR-based exit. You know, it really, we use those exits to help us avoid those situations, to allow that stock room to move.
With that, Stuart, what are your thoughts on profit targets as well? We always talk about setting your letting your profits run. What are your thoughts on setting profit targets?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think much about setting profit targets. I know a lot of people talk about it, and perhaps they identify a chart pattern and, you know, an ascending triangle or something, or a support and resistance area where, you know, a bit of consolidation is occurring. And we think if it breaks from this pattern, we believe this a likely target will be here. I'm really not a big fan of setting targets, only because, in my opinion, it violates that time-tested rule of letting your profits run. So, you know, I guess limiting ourselves that if it moves up 15%, we'll be happy and we therefore get out, to me is completely violating that rule of letting your profits run, and you are denying yourself the possibility of not just getting a 15% gain, but what might turn out to be a 25 or 35 or 65% gain in that particular stock. And we really need to make the most of our profits, because along the way we're going to have our losing trades. And we need to just ensure that that average profit that we get is far greater than the average loss that we get.
Yeah, I think that pretty much nails it right there. That's why you always hear there are quite a large number of successful traders that manage to be successful, even though they might get, you know, 30 or 40% of their trades correct. And it's that whole idea that their winning trades are so much larger than their losing trades. And a big part of that comes from that idea of not setting profit targets, and just riding that trend for the whole time. I think the only time that I've ever really heard people using profit targets successfully have been in different, depending on what market that you're trading. Like, I know, like options and things like that, obviously being a very volatile instrument, and once you start to introduce things like time decay and different things like that, it does change the game slightly. I have heard people using it that, but to be honest, I'm with Stu on that as well. I've really feel like it breaks that cardinal rule of letting your profits run, and that's absolutely key to being successful in the market. So I think we might even just leave it at that for the moment, Stu. I know we've only had a chance to tackle a few of the questions, and we've still got quite a lot more to work through, but perhaps just in the view of, you know, we're coming up close to the Triple Your Trading Profit Seminar, and I know we've both got a few things to do, we might leave it there. Did you have any final points or anything you wanted to touch on?
No, I'm just, as you said, we're not far away now from the workshop on the 8th of December, and I'm really excited about that because, as you know, we've been working hard on the material, and a lot of the things that we've answered in these questions that people have been sending in, guess what, you know, we're going to be covering a fair percentage of that in the workshop, of course. So really looking forward to, I guess, formally delivering that sort of material and going through some practical examples, and, of course, we've been busily preparing to do all that. So looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I think that's one thing you touched on, which I think is really key. We have got a lot of questions that have been coming through, and this new presentation that Stuart and I have been working on, Stu's actually just sent me through the most recent copy, which I'm just having a look through, and a lot of this material is, you know, brand new material that we haven't presented before. So I think there's definitely a lot for people when they're first getting started, or even if they've been trading for a while, that they'll be able to get out of this. And we have focused quite a lot of the seminar on the questions that are coming in to make sure that we can further expand on those and give people real-world examples of, okay, what can I actually use? What's an example of this rather than just talking more in generality? So, again, looking forward to it. If you're looking at coming along, make sure you check out the tripletradingprofits.com website. That's Triple Trading Profits. And also, if you're unable to make the event, make sure that you do sign up to the newsletter on that website as well, and we'll notify you as soon as the home study version is ready. So with that, we might leave it. Thanks for jumping on the call today, Stu.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, talk to you later.